Welcome to Food Navigator USA's Soup to Nuts podcast with Elizabeth Crawford, where I dish with trendsetters, tastemakers, and industry experts about everything from emerging trends to regulatory pressures to marketing strategies. Can the humble hot dog help slow or even reverse the negative effects of climate change? According to natural and organic meat brand Applegate, the answer is yes, especially if it's made with regeneratively farmed beef, which the company is committing to using for all of its beef hot dogs by the end of 2025. The company's commitment announced last week has the potential to help regenerate 6 million acres of grasslands, which could increase the current regenerative acreage of Applegate suppliers by more than 2,200%. In addition, the company argues modernizing cattle grazing practices could help change the conversation around animal agriculture's impact on the environment from one that is negative to one that could help restore soil health, sequester carbon, and protect against drought, wildfires, and erosion. In this episode of Food Navigator USA's Soup to Nuts podcast, Applegate President Joseph O'Connor and Senior Director of Mission and Advocacy, Carolyn Gahn, explain why the company is going all in on regenerative agriculture for its beef hot dogs, including promising results from the company's Do Good Dog pilot, which launched in 2021 and brought to market the first nationally available hot dog made with beef raised on verified regenerative U.S. grasslands. They also share how else Applegate is meeting its mission to support animal welfare, environmental sustainability, and a holistic food system that connects the health of humans, animals, and the planet, as detailed in its recently released inaugural mission report. So when the founders of Applegate launched the company more than 35 years ago, they did so to bring to market what they deemed as, quote, healthier or cleaner versions of popular conventional items, starting with the hot dog without nitrates, and quickly evolving to offer other meats that are antibiotic-free, organic, and all-natural. This evolution inspired the company's tagline, "Changing the Meat We Eat," which O'Connor explains remains the cornerstone of the company's innovative efforts and the impetus for Applegate's latest commitment to transition all of its beef hot dogs to those sourced from certified regenerative farms.
So when I look back at the history of Applegate as I know it today, the team was never satisfied with just having a natural antibiotic-free item. That's what pushed them to say, okay, we can do now a little bit more, understanding the transition of, you know, converting natural farming under our standards and practices to organic and take 3+ years. But that was the next evolution because the team said, well, we have to start to focus on soil health and we have to start focusing on less use of pesticides, et cetera. And so you go down that path and you start to build that system, and then that system can carry you so far. And the team said, well, I don't think we're doing enough. I think there are other ways we need to start to heal the planet, and there's other ways we can, you know, financially impact positively our farmers and our network. And that led to the regenerative. And so our standards, while they have evolved, the foundation has never changed. We just continue to layer on to what is sometimes a little bit complex for Applegate. And it's also, Elizabeth, it has cost us too, as in, you know, there's items we want to innovate into, but there may not be the supply built today for it, or it may not be readily available, or, you know, it's hard to obtain. And so, but we could probably move faster in some of our innovation areas, but we'll never give up the standards. And so it's an opportunity though for us to continue to evolve and hopefully continue to make that impact that we believe has been positive, you know, for the last 37 years.
Gahn adds that explicit in Applegate's mission is that the company constantly evolve to meet consumer expectations, and in doing so, help lead the broader industry to adopt healthier and more sustainable practices.
The case over the last 37 years is just, you know, responding to what is happening in the world and, you know, not being afraid to change when there's a new issue that needs to be solved. And so I think that's where we're at now, where, you know, 37 years ago, the conversation looked a lot different around the meat, meat industry and the food system in general. And now we have, a lot more to think about with the climate conversation. And so Applegate's always been willing to look at our, our business and say, how can we be making a difference in this area? I feel like we are, at the, sort of our responsibility is to lead in that area and lead our consumers through those changes. And when we think about our mission, we really operate, under four pillars, which are people, environmental sustainability, ingredient integrity, and animal welfare. And we call this internally, we call this our mission standards index. And really this is a, framework for decision making that allows us to evaluate, the aspects of our products that consumers value with the standards that we set in the supply chain. And so when you think about, Applegate, humanely raised, that's been the foundation of these standards, from the beginning, close to the beginning. And really, I think, from our perspective, because we are a meat brand, setting standards really starts there. And it's a reflection of where the rest of the standards go under the pillars. So we have, if we set high standards for the way animals are treated, it really trickles into the way the environment is treated and the way the people are treated in that supply chain. And so, I think that's the foundation that we build everything else off of.
It is from these values on which Applegate's mission is founded that O'Connor said the company began exploring the potential impact of regenerative agriculture, including its Do Good Dog pilot that launched in 2021 and ultimately led to last week's announcement about transitioning 100% of the company's beef hot dogs to regeneratively farmed beef.
What was the inspiration? It's our employees, though. And it was a team that we had here, and they're still here, as well as some others who have been with us, consulting with us for a long time. It was the area that they identified early in was here's an opportunity for us to help heal the planet. While doing other really good things and making an impact. And so our team, Elizabeth, started years ago to try and start to find sourcing. How could we start to build, regenerative agriculture with our cattle? And it took a long time. And as you can see, the announcement is by the end of 2025, because how we're going about it to hold ourselves accountable and our partners is, we are working with over 250 beef farmers throughout the world to implement this standard with these third-party verifications through these certifiers like Land to Market. And so it takes time and it takes us working collectively together to make sure that we have the sourcing built up. And it is inspiring for our team because we felt that it was the next level. We will use our third-party verifiers, and we have really three great partners between Land Market, Regenerative Organic Certification, and the Certified Regenerative by Greenum. We'll use them to make sure that we're holding the farmers accountable just as they're holding us accountable, and ultimately will help us, be able to publish those results in next year's mission report or impact report and so on.
Gahn adds that Applegate was also drawn to the regenerative agriculture ethos of continuous improvement, which mirrors Applegate's mission and commitment to continuously evolve for the better.
So the philosophy of regen with continuous improvement is really what we take back as really the unifying factor here. I mean, farmers, are now able to measure land health metrics, and that empowers farmers to have the tools and the data they need to make the decisions on their farm. And I think that's hugely, that's just a really huge, thing to support, right? Like, just give the farmers the right tools and data and they make the right decisions. And so, we definitely, value our supply chain partnerships and have looked at this whole thing as a big partnership, working to transition our existing supply chain rather than finding new farmers. That's, you know, been from day one. Again, part of our philosophy is bringing partners along with us to really make the change that we need to see. And because of that commitment to those partners, we've been able to make those big shifts. And the continuous improvement goes both ways. You know, we will continue to improve in our program, our standards. The conversation as an industry and, you know, globally around regen is still very much, you know, in development and happening. And we, you know, are at the table for some of those conversations. We, you know, want to push this forward so we can, all, you know, be able to have the information we need at our fingertips. But at the end of the day, it's the continuous improvement piece is about moving towards more positive plant health outcomes.
O'Connor and Gons at Applegate's confidence that sourcing beef from regenerative farmlands for all of its beef hot dogs is both possible and beneficial because of the results it saw from its Do Good Dog pilot.
Going back, the Do Good Dog is, you know, was closely tied to what we believe is an iconic category, which is in American food, which is hot dogs. And we wanted to make it simple. And so we tailored all of our consumer messaging around the hot dog, and we did our best to explain what regenerative agriculture was. And while it was successful, we also understood it was also kind of confusing to consumers because it just wasn't as widely known. And since 21, there's been documentaries on Netflix and other, other vehicles, other formats where people are starting to understand regenerative culture, excuse me, regenerative agriculture a little bit more today. And we have partners like Kiss the Ground and Regenerate America that helped get that message out there, especially when it came to the 23 Farm Bill. But we started there, and we then said, we pulled up and we said, okay, we launched this item into a very busy category. We know the consumers are interested, and the feedback and the actual scoring was really high on our actual impact. And that was the signal for us to say, let's move forward with buying all in to sourcing from regenerative lands.
As far as climate change goes, you know, consumers are concerned about their meat consumption and beef in particular. And so that's, you know, really the focus on beef is that and working with How Good measures all of our product formulas and essentially our scope 3 emissions. Based on eight core attributes, so greenhouse gas emissions, biodiversity, water usage, labor risk, land use, soil health, and, you know, really captures all the nuances in our supply chain that make our products, our ingredients different from whatever the standard is that would be, you know, what would be the standard is the, you know, standard emissions factor. And by putting in our nuanced data, we're able to see the difference. Like, how does a, you know, certified regenerative beef, grass fed, you know, animal welfare certified, no antibiotics ever, you know, all of these things, how does that differ? And so with How Good, we were really able to pull out the difference. You know, for biodiversity, for example, we're twice, Do Good Dog is twice, performing twice as better as industry standard for, you know, that category. And so I think when we look at where we fit in is how can we be changing the meat we eat? How can we be moving this forward? You know, in regards to the environment, you know, think about, you know, how to mitigate climate change. And it's really a, you know, reduction of greenhouse gas emissions, and then sequestration of the other. So are we ever going to totally eliminate, you know, emissions from beef? Absolutely not. But Regen Ag is sequestering carbon. And so, you know, in lots of other benefits as well. But if we're really looking at those numbers, you know, there's a lot of potential there to uncover true data there. So I think, you know, there's that was just a good insight from Do Good Dog. And like Joe said, really, really motivated us to double down.
There's also a strong business case behind Applegate's decision not just to support regenerative agriculture, but also its higher animal welfare standards, as well as its commitments to organic and all natural. To better understand that impact and the business case for changing the meat we eat, Gahn said the company worked with Ecotone Analytics to estimate the social, environmental, and economic benefits of its sustainability initiatives, as well as its animal welfare standards, across the supply chain.
Some of these values, these that we've been living and breathing for the last 37 years, how do you really actually capture those? Because they aren't showing up as a line item on a P&L. They're, you know, really, you know, the benefits that we believe and know in our hearts to be true. It's like, how do we express those? How do we actually measure those? And we're at a point now where we, you know, wanted to really take a look at how, you know, quantifying this in the ways that we could in order to, you know, one, be able to show that impact across the board to our consumers and our stakeholders, and two, to be able to make strategic decisions moving forward in regards to our mission. And so we worked with Ecotone Analytics out of Minneapolis. They do data analytics modeling. And we brought them in to estimate the social, environmental, and economic benefits from our standards. So Applegate humanely raised, no antibiotics ever, organic, and grass-fed production standards. And so, and this was for our fiscal 23 volumes. So a couple call-outs from that. You know, we can see the benefits of the organic production. So that's 220,000 pounds of reduced pesticide use within, and that's primarily looking at like the feed production for pork and poultry. And then 480,000 pounds of nitrogen fertilizer that is not entering our waterways. And then, you know, some of the ones that we've been wanting to quantify for a really long time are like antibiotics avoided. So because we have a no antibiotics ever standard in our supply chain, 11 tons of antibiotics were avoided in fiscal 23. And then we really wanted to look at the value to farmers themselves. And I thought this one was really interesting with animal welfare. We, you know, that one is tough to monetize, right? Because we're talking about the health and happiness and or you know the comfort level of an animal is not something that you can really quantify to on a lot of levels. But we were able to determine that $540,000 showed up as additional revenue to poultry producers because there was no bruising. When there's bruising in the supply chain there, that's meat they're not able to sell. And so when you look at it that way, you can really quantify the value. And then of course, the benefits of nutritional benefits of grass-fed beef. This is an area that we're excited to do more digging into. We know that it's lower in fat and calories, grass-fed beef. And so looking at the volume that we procured in fiscal 23, the average consumer consumed about 1,000 less grams of fat and 7,300 less calories, which I think is hugely interesting to think about. And there's a lot more there for the future to uncover as far as nutritional benefits of regen grass-fed.
As illustrated by these results, the benefits of more sustainable business practices can be felt across the supply chain. But in order to achieve those, Gahn and O'Connor said stakeholders, including sometimes competitors or businesses from different industries, need to work together to support regenerative agriculture.
I truly believe for this to be successful, it takes multiple brands and multiple categories to really help get this message out. And so, you know, when we did this back in 21, I also go back to where we were in our country at that time, coming out of COVID, people readjusting to life or whatever. And, you know, our messaging was really geared and we tried to be very educational to them. And I think at times that can be very heavy, where people were just like, oh my gosh, I just got out of the house, or I can't have someone else tell me another thing that I'm supposed to know. And so if I would go back, I would still carry the same message. I may have had probably a different tone to it. I also would have found ways to work better, like communicate with either partner brands to try and get the and boost the message. But from our standpoint, if we could have a little bit of a pep in our step, I'd say don't give up. Because we believed in it. We continued with the research, to see if it was something, you know, we should move forward with. And that's where we landed today. We chose a difficult category to get into, but we still in our heart, based on both our portfolio mix, but also what we thought would be the best way to reach the consumer's table was through the iconic hot dog. And so, you know, I'd say my message to peers would be, let's do this together. That's how strongly we believe about regenerative agriculture and supporting it. And I hope we can continue to find those partner brands that want to work with us.
Yeah, just to add one more thing to that, you know, there's a lot of different cuts of meat on a beef. You know, so I think the hot dog is using one portion of it. And when the farmer is able to sell every single cut as a premium regen product that it is, it'll be a little more balanced in the marketplace with a, you know, adoption across different categories. And so I think that's just playing to Joe's point there of brands working together, meat brands even, you know, just to really move all the pieces of the animal so that the farmer, you know, is really able to scale their operation as a regen supply.
As ambitious as Applegate's initiative to source 100% of its hot dog beef from regenerative farmland is, it is far from the company's only sustainability goal. In its impact report released earlier this month, the company also outlines 3-year commitments to increase its offering of nutrient-dense, allergen-free, clean-label products by joining the nonprofit Food Allergy Research and Education Advisory Committee and investing in research to measure the nutrient density of regenerative meat. It also will launch an animal welfare advisory board and implement third-party remote video auditing in all of its processing facilities as part of its ongoing goal to promote animal welfare. And finally, it will continue to foster inclusivity in its business by launching DEI initiatives in its consumer marketing, supply chain, workplace culture, and community engagement. For those who want to learn more about how Applegate is approaching sustainability, including its regenerative agricultural efforts, check out the company's full impact report at applegate.com. With that, we've come to the end of another episode of Food Navigator USA's Soup to Nuts podcast. I hope that you'll join me again for another installment. And to help you remember, I encourage you to subscribe. Until next time, this is Elizabeth Crawford wishing you a productive, profitable, and safe week.